why you do. Later on, switch on the TV. They give me a news, they give half truths to me. They give us wives, they feed us lies. Now why we do it?
Uncensored Radio Free America.
Rick Adams is on.
We are here, and tonight, on this Thursday night, we are going to be very pleased to welcome back to these microphones someone who I thought would be on tomorrow night, but actually is going to be on with us tonight. Because we have another special guest tomorrow night. We'll tell you about her later on. Our guest is Eustace Mullins. Hello, Eustace Mullins. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm looking forward to the program.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, too. You're always a very interesting, informative, and articulate spokesman. So it's good to have you back. And tonight, I thought we'd spend a little time really getting into the subject of one of your favorite subjects of many of your books that you've written over the years. And that has to do with money, if we can call it money, and we'll call it the system of plunder and the Federal Reserve. So I will defer to you tonight and your expertise in this gang of thieves, as it were, and we'll spend some time talking about that. How's that, Houston?
Oh, that's fine. Well, you know, there's a money monopoly, and there's money manipulation,
mm-hmm.
and there's money creation.
All three.
And all this is money that has no basis in reality. It's a fantasy money. It's play money.
And, you know, the proof of that is that Mr. Greenspan, who's planning supposedly to retire one of these days in a year or so, you know, has come out again and told us that he's going to fight inflation. And in order to fight inflation, of course, we're going to raise those interest rates again. And again, and
well,
again.
Well, he's been fighting inflation. He fought inflation and caused the great crash of 2000,
yeah.
in which $8 trillion of the American public's money disappeared into thin air.
Mm-hmm.
Never to be seen again.
Pretty interesting inflation fighter, huh? Wouldn't you think?
That's right.
Well, you know, the thing is, it's so tragic because I don't know of very many colleges today, Eustace, that actually teach economics or real, you know, market economics.
Well, I went to five colleges, and none of them ever heard of economics. And I got my education in economics in the insane asylum in Washington, D.C., at St. Elizabeth's Hospital.
Well, there you go. That's right. You spent a little time there as a political prisoner, didn't you?
Oh, I certainly did.
Yeah. Well, when we come back from the break, for those who don't know, who haven't heard the story of Eustace Mullins, and we have so many new listeners, I'll have you recap that for us.
All right.
Tell us what happened to you and the kinds of books that you've written on the Treasury and the Federal Reserve System. And, of course, you've done some work not too long ago on BCCI. So we'll talk about that, how it all ties together.
Oh, it's all the same operation.
It's the same company, huh?
I call it the same criminal syndicate.
Sometimes, Eustace, only the names will change to protect the guilty, as they say. All right, stay where you are. Eustace Mullins, our guest. I'm Rick Adams. We will return and begin the program with your calls on Uncensored Radio Free America right here on RBNLive.com. You stay with me and join us. Radio Avenger welcomes you. We'll be back.
right, we're back to begin. Get right down to basics now. And as I say, our guest is author Eustace Mullins. And Eustace, you just mentioned a few moments ago that you got your best education in the Washington Nut House. Will you tell us what that's all about for those who don't know?
Well, it's my only education. See, the federal government has a hospital in Washington, D.C., which is called St. Elizabeth's mm-hmm. Hospital for the Insane.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a political opponent. They put a lot of political opponents in there, and they're not always crazy. They had a political opponent, a poet living in Europe for many years, who opposed our going into World War II.
Oh.
Because he said, we went into World War I, and that made it a disaster for everybody concerned, mm-hmm. and there was no sense in doing that again. And it was a very logical point, but he was immediately attacked. Because the war machine was already underway, mm-hmm. and they didn't want some mad poet screwing up the works.
Oh,
you know, Charles Lindbergh also mm-hmm. Put his career on the line by opposing our entry into the war,
mm-hmm.
and they called him a Nazi.
Yep.
And they called Ezra Pound a fascist.
And they're still calling him a Nazi, Lindbergh.
Oh,
right?
Yes, they're still calling him a Nazi. Yeah. Well, it's Goofy Philip Roth, a crazy novelist, wrote a book claiming that, well, it's a mythical occurrence, of course.
Yeah, it's a novelette.
He claimed that
it's
Lindbergh became a fascist, became a Nazi dictator in the United States.
Yeah, he was their man, huh?
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of humorous when you consider that Joe Stalin considered FDR to be his favorite man and his man in the whole man in the White House.
Oh,
it's kind of
well,
silly.
You know, Stalin also considered his successor, Harry Truman,
mm-hmm.
A favorite man. Okay. And Truman reciprocated by calling Stalin good old Joe.
Yeah.
Good old Joe had been murdering a million people a year in Russia since 1917.
Well, I guess
so
he had to have been a good man then, right?
Oh, yeah.
By their standards, I mean.
Well, he was good at what he was doing.
Yeah.
Mass murder.
He was, yeah. Oh, no wonder you're so prolific in your books, you know. And so you spent time. Now, you were put away there in Washington?
Oh, no. I was an art student in Washington, D.C.
What happened?
My art teacher was visiting Ezra Pound in the Nut House
uh-huh.
and helping him to write to translate French poetry.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy says to me one day, he says, why don't you come out to meet Ezra Pound?
Mm-hmm.
And I was absolutely stunned because what would Ezra Pound, who is the world's most famous poet, what could he possibly talk to me about? I didn't know anything about his stuff.
Yep.
And he spoke a lot of languages, which I didn't speak.
Mm-hmm.
When I finally met him, the first thing he asked me was, how many languages do you speak?
Mm-hmm.
And I had to answer, one. So he looked at me very pityingly, and so we didn't get off to a good start. But we did get something done.
Mm-hmm. And what were some of the things that you got done?
He asked me to go to the Library of Congress and see what I could find out about the Federal Reserve System.
And?
Because he was a political prisoner, and he couldn't go to the library. He was a scholar, and he wanted to go to the library and find out things. But they had him locked in the Nut House, so he couldn't do it. So I was out running around, so he asked me to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I went down there and found something I've been living ever since, the history of the Federal Reserve System.
Mm-hmm. Right there in the government's own secret vaults, huh?
Oh, not only that, it was the official library of the United States, the Library of Congress, and all of my sources for my eventual history of the Federal Reserve System were from government documents, mostly congressional hearings. And that's why I know in 50 years nobody's been able to challenge a single word about the book, because it all comes from government documents.
That's the best way, you know, you go right to the source, and you did
well,
that.
Ezra Pound taught me that because he had been doing research in Europe for 30 years in 8 languages,
mm-hmm.
and that's the only way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Federal Reserve System now, as I say, is the engine of inflation, and by that I mean the engine of destruction. Because
well, it's the engine of creation of money, of money out of nothing.
But inflation is not really the right word, is it? I mean,
no, it's not.
It's misleading. It's misleading.
Too much money chasing too few goods. But it's never a question of that anyway.
No, because there's no money here. We're dealing with
fiat. Yeah, there is no money. It's not only is there no money, but the money we have is not real money. It's debt money.
Exactly.
Exactly. Now,
and debt money is not real money.
The Federal Reserve System, really, did it have a precursor, Eustace, in the Civil War, the war between the states? And how did it play a role, the concept of the greenbacks versus the central banking system in the war between the states and the Rothschilds' involvement with that?
Well, the war between the states, they tried to... Now, the Rothschilds had wanted to separate this country into two small banana republics, the North of the United States and South of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And they figured these two small countries would be easier to control than this one big country.
Mm-hmm.
So that was what it was all about. So when Lincoln wanted to fight the war, the bankers said, yes, you can borrow money to fight the war, but it would be 19%. Well, the going rate at that time was 1.5%.
Mm-hmm.
So these bankers asked him for 19%, and he was absolutely stunned. So he found out he could print his own money through the United States Treasury called mm-hmm. greenback notes.
Right, right.
And that's what they did, and they murdered him for it.
Yeah. Now, who was it that wrote the book Lincoln Money Martyred? Was that you?
Oh, no, no. That's a good book. That's one of the first books that Ezra Pound steered me onto. It's a very good book.
I read that years and years ago.
Oh, it's a good book.
Yeah, yeah. Lincoln Money Martyred. And
oh, yeah.
You feel that was the motive for the murder of Lincoln, huh?
Well, the same motive for John Kennedy
mm-hmm.
100 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And John Kennedy went to Harvard. He was a playboy. He didn't study history. So he never knew until he got shot that Lincoln had been murdered by the bankers for printing greenback notes, non-interest-bearing notes that the bankers couldn't make any money off of.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that Lyndon Johnson's administration changed right away after the assassination of
Well,
Kennedy.
I think Lyndon knew a little more about what was going on than poor John Kennedy did.
Unfortunately, yes. Yes. I think he did. Poor John Kennedy didn't know who his real enemies were, did he?
No. Lyndon had the FBI and the CIA working for him.
Mm-hmm.
And poor John Kennedy didn't have a chance because they're the ones that did him in.
It reminds me of the Reagan-Bush administration in the 80s and how George Bush Sr. was pulling the strings behind Reagan while he slept.
Oh, yes.
All the time.
Oh, of course he was, because he knew what was going on. He was an operator, a wheeler-dealer.
Absolutely.
And Reagan was a Hollywood actor.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, all his life, he'd gotten ready to play the President of the United States. And
yeah.
So when he got the role, he thought he had the best role of his career.
Well, he did, actually. And
he did, and he played it very well.
Yeah, he did. He absolutely performed marvelously and kept all the dumb conservatives, so-called, all asleep at the switch, applauding every move that Reagan made, even though Reagan vastly expanded government control, hired hundreds of more agents.
The budget went through the roof.
Yeah, the IRS increased. Remember, he came in saying, we're going to abolish two departments. And the first thing, as soon as I get in, the Department of Energy and the Department of Education. Of course, both of them grew fantastically.
Yep. And then naturally. Nobody ever touched them. They've been growing ever since.
Yeah, balanced budget. You remember he talked about that.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to do all these good things. And, of course, none of them happened. And then when Congressman McDonald was killed on that flight there, 007 over Japan, why this man never even recognized his name. Never even knew he was on the flight, apparently.
Oh.
Never acknowledged the murder of a U.S. congressman. You know, Ronald Reagan was a good actor in government.
He was a good actor, and now he gets credit for having destroyed the communist regime, when the fact is that Reagan had nothing to do with the destruction of the communist regime.
I didn't know it was destroyed, though. I mean, I think we're still living under communism all over the world.
Well, it's still communism. Communism is still a very powerful word for us. But, you know, communism went down for a very simple reason. They went into Afghanistan and got into a war that they couldn't get out of, and the Soviet system collapsed because of that.
Mm-hmm.
See, we had been supporting communism since 1917.
Right.
The communist system of government or economics or whatever you want to call it mm-hmm. was never economically viable, and the American public supported the communist system in Moscow from 1917 mm-hmm. on, and... So when they bogged down and finally in Afghanistan, which, of course, is no coincidence that the Bush administration is in Afghanistan at the present time
mm-hmm.
and facing the same denouement that the Soviets faced there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, the funny thing is I've always told people how that war came about. The Kama River Truck Factory was built with American taxpayers' money, and the World Bank, the IMF, Exim Bank, they all made it possible so we could fight another enemy. And here we go again. Now the new enemy is Islamic fundamentalism. Wouldn't you know it? Oh, golly gee.
Well, Bill O'Reilly has coined a term called Islamofascism.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is the goofiest thing. In other words, some followers of Mussolini are still around, and they apparently read the Quran and became Muslims, and now they're Islamofascists.
Yeah, right.
The whole thing is so ridiculous. You wouldn't think a four-year-old would believe a fairy tale like that.
That's all right if Bill O'Reilly says it. I just want him to look in the mirror when he says it.
That's all. Looks in the mirror.
I can understand why. Yeah, right. All right. Anyway, it's time to invite callers to get on the line. You're listening to Eustace Mullins, a very knowledgeable man. Who's been around for a long time, more years than I can shake a stick at. That's a compliment, Eustace.
I got a lot of years ahead of me. I'm working harder than ever.
And I'm learning from you. I'm learning from this man. You can learn, too, and join us. 800-313-9443 is the number to get online, get on the program. 800-313-9443. I'm Rick Adams. This program is Uncensored Radio Free America, and we will be back in just a few moments with all of your phone calls, all of your input, which we value highly. Eustace Mullins, our guest. With our guest, Eustace Mullins, who, as I say, if you've got a question about this subject of, the international banking families, the Rothschilds, the Federal Reserve, all of this, and some history, too, then you get on the line right now, toll-free, 800-313-9443. And we've got a caller now from Virginia. I think I forgot the name. Who is this, Jack or Joe or...
That's Thomas.
Carla, how are you doing, sir?
Thomas.
Thomas, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing, Mr.
Good. Nice to hear your voice, and welcome to the program.
I have a little bit of a stopped-up sinus.
I can hear it.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. Say hello to Eustace Mullins. Go ahead.
Eustace knows who I am. I talk to him on the phone every now and then. I graduated from Liberty, and I'm the one from Lynchburg.
Uh-huh. Jerry Falswell.
Yes, sir. when I graduated, I told him we needed to discuss the New World Order when I walked the stage, and he did not like that very much.
No.
Because he was the last hand you shook when you went across the stage, started a commencement exercise, and he didn't like that very much.
I'm sorry. Several of Falwell's people have come to see me, former students, and they had a very unhappy experience because he tossed them right out of there.
Well, that reminds me of Bob Jones University, and he did the same thing.
I was there as an Academy boarding student when I was 14 years old, believe it or not, to Bob Jones Academy as a boarding student. And, those places are something else, that's for sure.
Well, now, these are supposed to be institutions not only of higher learning, but supposedly devoted to Christ. And yet, when it comes to the truth that you're espousing, Eustace Mullins has shown from his historical documentation. What is it that they're so afraid of?
Well, I think they're running a business and they're afraid of interfering with business.
Mm-hmm. In what sense, Eustace?
Well, I said I'm afraid that they're running a business and they don't like people messing up their business.
And what is their business, do you think?
Well, their business is the business of religion. That's what it was in ancient Egypt. That's what it is today.
You mean that's what they were doing in the temple?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Christ turned over the money changers' temple, the stables, you know.
So I hear, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that got him into very bad reputation, which finally he wound up on the cross.
Yeah. And some of the same people today are putting Christians on the cross all over again, and people like yourself who have exposed this malaise. Isn't that interesting? Well, now let me ask you, caller from Virginia.
Yes,
what,
sir.
You say you speak with Eustace quite often?
I talk to him on the phone. I've been wanting to come visit him because he lives in Stanton, and I live in Lynchburg, because I would you know, learn as much as I can about the fraudulent, illegal Federal Reserve system, et cetera. And I know Eustace is one of the, maybe the most knowledgeable person in the whole state on the New World Order.
Well, you know, you got in Lynchburg, you got Dick Hoskins, who also is, we've worked together quite a long time. And Dick Hoskins has written a number of books on that very subject.
Yes, sir. The Hoskins, yes, sir. You're right. Ken White, who owns the Virginia Taxpayers Association, I'm friends with him, and he's been in the fight for many, many years.
Well, Virginians have been fighting ever since 1620 in this state.
Yeah, yeah. But you know Ken White, right? He's just...
Yes.
Yes, and he does his job, but, you know, we try to fight. I just really wanted to ask you... the housing market's really the last thing that's holding our economy up at the present. Isn't that pretty much correct? Because so much debt is on everybody's homes?
Well, the reason for the real estate speculation right now and the reason for the gas price rise is that the Federal Reserve is pumping out so much fiat money that they got to soak it up. It's swamping the country. Now, Greenspan is worried about inflation. Well, inflation is one aspect of too much money. Too much paper money, but what Greenspan is doing is flooding the country with the world with this stuff, and it's depreciating in value. China and Japan are buying up our debt because it pays a good interest, but they're also gambling because this whole dollar could go down the drain at any time.
No, I'm convinced. I'm convinced we're on the horizon. We're within 2 years of that happening, if not sooner. If they have one of their staged terror events like 9/11 or Oklahoma City or something idiotic like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I tried to explain to someone the other day. I said, you know, actually to my brother out in California, he's very, very liberal. You know, I told him, I said, you know, if they'll use depleted uranium on our troops and on these populations that irradiate the Middle East, why wouldn't they take down the trade towers and just kill 3,000 people? You know, what's the difference to them? They've killed, you know, a million and a half Iraqi children, you know, since the 91 Gulf War.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for someone we installed in the first place, it was a CIA asset to begin with.
Well, that's the way it works. You know, you set them up, then you knock them down. You set them up, you knock them down. You take the country, and that's how they operate. Since they control the media, which is another topic that we'll get into later, because Eustace has written quite well on that subject as well. Who controls the media? All right, Tom, we appreciate your call from Virginia. Thomas Jefferson, we call him. All right, stay where you are, Eustace Mullins. Rick Adams with you on Uncensored Radio Free America. We'll return.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Rick Adams is back.
Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of talk radio.
Well, thank you. We're back is right, and the number to call, 800-313-9443. Our guest, Eustace Mullins, and we're going to go right back to the phone, Eustace. You still there?
Oh, yes.
Good, good. All right, let's say hello to Doug in Austin. Hi, Doug.
Hi, Rick. How you doing? Good to hear your voice again. And hello, Eustace. Nice to talk with you.
Hi, man.
I just got a couple of comments. Actually, I called in about something else to ask Eustace a favor, but related to something the previous caller said related to real estate. I have a perspective on that I'd like to share. I think they're actually planning on taking the economy down first quarter of next year, and what I'm watching happening is both Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, one's $500 billion-plus, the other's $800 billion-plus in assets, are so poorly leveraged, both coming into the transaction and going out of the transaction. In other words, they're leveraged just in all the real estate that they own. And so without payments coming in, there's an issue there. But the big problem is that the big funds, the retirement funds and all these different funds that are involved in investments and everything hold so much of that paper. And as the economy gets worse and the people start in a situation where they can't work, start missing those mortgage payments, not only does it hurt Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae because they're no longer going to be able to back all these things, but all of these investment funds that have this paper and everything is going to go down, which is going to cause the ripple effect clear through the economy. And the people that you know I communicate with say it's going to happen very, very rapidly, and they're expecting some of this to start tumbling in the first quarter next year, so I'm kind of waiting to see what happens there.
What do you think of that?
The reason that I called in, though, mm-hmm. is I've been following and Red Griffin's things and have contacted him a little bit.
Ed Griffin, did you say?
Yeah, and related to the Federal Reserve.
Right.
And
right.
I think that I've got my head kind of around it. And everything I find in words, and I come out of the former corporate environment. I'm retired now. Mm-hmm. And I was very good at putting together presentations that took a whole lot of words and used a whole lot more pictures and made it a whole lot easier for people to understand, i.e. a picture's worth a thousand words. And what I think would really be beneficial to the public would be to, you know, somebody to take all of those words and turn them into something that's easier to understand for the common man of what's really going on. And the fewest number, I like to use PowerPoint because it's just easy to do. And the best part is once it's created, it's very easy to use. And you can transfer them through email, and people can just pull them up and look at them. They're easy to put on websites, that sort of thing. And so if someone's interested in working with me to help me where I may not understand it correctly, you know, somebody that's intimately familiar with that, along with my skills, we could build something, a tool like that, that would make this story easier for everybody to understand. So throw that out there.
All right. Did you want to comment on all of these points, Eustace? First, the housing market and the economy, and we'll go from there.
Oh, yes, the depressed gasoline. They're all trying to cope with this flood of fiat money, which is being printed by the Bureau of Printing and Engraving, which is a government office. But they're printing the money. The tourists are coming down 14th Street to the Bureau of Printing and Engraving, which is next door to the Holocaust Museum for some reason. And they see the printing presses printing our money. So they think this is our government printing our money. They're never told that the Bureau of Printing and Engraving is printing this money on contract from a private bank, the Federal Reserve System, and that the government really has nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I agree.
I have an off-air question as well that relates to this, and that is a generic question. How do we prepare for the future with what's happening now? What's the best way, in your view, Eustace?
Well, we've got to be prepared to ride it out because some rough times are coming. Now, China and Japan are loaded up with their debt, and they can call it in at any time, but they don't dare because they lose everything they've got in it. So they're keeping us going and keeping the trade going through this magical money machine that we call the Federal Reserve System.
Mm-hmm. So the source of the whole problem then, right, as I've been saying for years, is the Federal Reserve System is the real core of the malaise with all of us are facing today. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So how do we dismantle the Federal Reserve System? You know, they're in just about every country of the world. They've got these central banks, and now...
Well, there are central banks, and all the central banks work together.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
The Federal Reserve of 1913, how could we get rid of the Federal Reserve System?
Mm-hmm.
Section 34 of the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, which is not a very long act, but the last... Section 34 says Congress reserves the right to alter or repeal this act at any time. That Section 34 means that Congress could repeal the Federal Reserve System tomorrow morning.
Yeah, could.
But see how many congressmen you get to vote for it.
Well, I know what happened to Gonzalez when he started questioning the Federal Reserve System.
Oh, yes, indeed.
And he found out pretty fast how life can be snuffed out when you're not following the masters, huh?
Well, when you take the money, they take your money away from you, you can't go very far.
No. Well, he almost took his life, too. All right.
Sure.
Thank you very much. Doug in Austin, thank you very much for your call. Alex Jones, hi, you're on the program.
Yeah, this is Alex. I thought you were just going to Doug.
I'm sorry. I think I skipped Doug inadvertently. The heat is getting to me today, Alex. I'm sorry. But you're on now anyway.
About the police commissioner in New York says in the middle of summer with it 95 degrees up there, if you sweat, they're going to question you. That's a sign of being a terrorist. And we've got to have random searches of all the bags. But the borders are going to stay wide open. I just called in to say it's been many years since I interviewed Eustace, and it's always good to get to hear him. And I heard this banking discussion about the Japanese and the Chinese predominantly owning our debt. Europe has really moved out of it. Russia dumped it a few years ago. The Middle East is leaving our T-bills. Big development today that has gone overlooked, and it's one of the top four stories on Infowars.com, and this is out of the Associated Press. China is no longer dollarized. They're no longer pegged to the dollar. That's what kept their products really low in price. Their currency is no longer pegged. Mm-hmm. They have pulled out, and they are saying they're now going to move more to the euro and to other currencies. And, of course, our government's been orchestrating this all along. They want to have these calamities. They want to have these consolidations.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're going to mix a big terror attack into the middle of it. We've now proven these new bombings in London today are another government inside job. We've got all that posted. So I just wanted to get Eustace's comments on how they're about to pass anti-terror laws in England that were stalling today, and then a convenient bombing happened, or four bombings.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, the Chinese saying that they're going to no longer dollarize their currency. Very, very serious.
Sure. Stay on the line, Alex, if you can. And go ahead, Eustace. Respond.
Yes, terror has become an integral part of the world economy. Almost every country depends on terror today. That's why you had this silly little bombing in London today, which apparently was ineffectual.
Mm-hmm.
That was just to remind people that terror is always there, just around the corner.
Yeah.
And searching people on subways, searching their backpacks is absolutely ridiculous. The only thing you got to worry about on the subways is getting mugged and robbed.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel, Alex, that, as you say, that this is a precursor as to what they're planning here, the globalists are planning in the United States as far as the bombing is concerned?
If we wouldn't, all of us together, collectively expose that the globalists were behind 9/11, they would have already carried out even bigger attacks. But now they're really fear-mongering on suitcase nukes, which I think is a real threat, but not from Al-Qaeda. And they're really fair. I mean, the Russians never turn loose of those. They've been planting that backstory, you know, into the, this fictional history for 15 years now, or 14 years to be precise. And so, yeah, I think rough times are ahead. You know, it was always a catch-22. Either we didn't expose them and they were going to carry out attacks earlier and bring us into a police state quicker, or when we started winning, which I think we're starting to have a lot of victories, a huge awakening, everybody's getting that, they would go ahead and have to carry out attacks. And so I'm just thankful they're carrying out small attacks instead of really big attacks, but I think big attacks are in the cards, unfortunately, and we just, all of us had better expose who's behind it. I mean, Eustace, what do you think this means that the Chinese have gone off the dollar? They're no longer pegged to the dollar. They are pegged, in their words, to a kind of scale of different currencies.
Well, I haven't seen it in the Wall Street Journal. I don't think they've covered it yet.
Yeah, it just came out this afternoon.
Oh, it did?
It's late-breaking news, Eustace.
Uh-huh.
Well,
very,
it certainly is a very significant development, isn't it?
It's very significant. That's why I wonder why I missed it. I read the Wall Street Journal this morning. There's nothing in there about it.
It will be in tomorrow's.
Okay.
Well, it's a good point, Alex. Alex, thanks for bringing these points up. They're very important. We need to discuss them.
Thank you. And, hey, Eustace, can I get your number from the folks running the show? I'd like to get you on my show sometime.
Sure, great.
Oh, sure,
great.
I'll do your show.
By all means. Excellent.
Thanks. Hey,
all
thanks,
right.
Rick.
Thank you, brother. And by the way, you might want to go to Infowars.com and check Alex's site out, because he does have a tremendous amount of information on his site each and every day, including these late-breaking events that we're talking about. I agree that I think that they're running scared And Tony Blair, if you looked at him today, you looked at his face, and it was
scared. Absolutely,
it's so revealing, though. It's so revealing to see a man who not scared because of terrorism, scared because he knows that he is fully aware that his government has been carrying out these bombings, and they have blood on their hands. Now, it's not like we pulled this stuff out of a bag. We've got so much documentation now and revelations from former MI6, MI5 agents that now come out of the woodwork, write books, you know, get in the press, in the British press, and start telling us, yeah, our government is run by a bunch of criminals. And it's nothing new. The United States government was run by criminals. FDR, what he did at Pearl Harbor was absolutely unimaginable. And, you know, we've had the great grandson of Admiral Kimmel and go through all the history books and show us positively that this government under FDR, who was a stooge himself, carried out the bombings at Pearl Harbor. They actually precipitated the Japanese and forced them into a corner, knowing full well they'd strike there to get us into Europe and rescue Stalin. But anyway, to make a long story short, Alex is right on the money on that, and I think that this is very verboten, Eustace. This is a sign.
Oh, yeah. I met Admiral Kimmel's grandson a few years ago in Washington, and he had written to President Bush, the first President Bush, mm-hmm. and asked him to do something about clearing his grandfather's name. And Bush wrote back to him and said, I cannot rewrite history.
No, he can only make it, huh?
Yeah, he can make it, but he can't rewrite it.
Well, you know, the fact of the matter is they're all running scared because, see, if one bit of mythology is shattered, that is the Pearl Harbor myth and the Japanese attack, so-called, then the whole ball of wax is over. The whole World War II myth is over. The whole business of why we, you know, then found ourselves in Korea and Vietnam and in all of these brush fire wars all over the planet. You know, that every single one of these lying politicians.
It's a house of cards that could fall over in a minute. And, you know, they hailed 9/11 as another Pearl Harbor, which it was.
Well, that's exactly the point. The point is they did Pearl Harbor 1, and here was Pearl Harbor 2.
Absolutely.
And next Tuesday night, we do have David Raymond Griffin back on the program, who wrote that book, The New Pearl Harbor, about 9/11, and the subsequent book, which you should read, Eustace, if you haven't.
I haven't seen it. That sounds very interesting.
Well, you can get a hold of it through. Just get on the net.
I'm glad you told me about it. I haven't heard about it.
Well,
that is very good. The new
it's interesting
Harbor.
That you haven't heard about it. You won't hear about it much from the mainstream media, so-called.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
No, I read the New York Times book review, and unfortunately, the New York Times does not review these books.
No. The New York, you know what they say, all the news that's fit to print.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's the mantra right there.
They judge what's fit to print.
And what's fit not to print, right.
Oh, absolutely.
It's what they don't print that's more important than what they print, right.
It really is.
Well, I always tell people that I only read the so-called mainstream press just to find out what they're not telling me. And I think that's a pretty good guide, actually. All right, take the number down, ladies and gentlemen, 800-313-9443 to get online with us right now. We've already taken Doug's call from Austin before Alex's, so we have a line open for you now, 800-313-9443. Our guest is Eustace Mullins. Right now, I'd like to get into this whole business, Eustace, of BCCI. And no, it's not a new viral disease. It was going on in the 80s. We all heard about it. And yet most people today probably still don't understand what BCCI was all about. Tell us.
Well, that stands for, okay, that the mythology at the time was that BCCI stood for the Bank of Criminals and
Crooks Incorporated. Right.
Yeah, the BCCI. That is part of this world central bank operation and part of the world bank operation that is a criminal operation. BCCI was into all of it.
Mm-hmm. You know, you refer to the BCCI, and then you make mention of how all of the major networks are basically owned by the Rothschild banking families in Europe, and also the major newspapers. Then you mentioned the fact that originally CNN was created almost as an independent challenge to the Zionist network monopoly. And they had their problems not long after. And then, of course, they ran right up against the steamroll, didn't they?
Oh, they certainly did.
And we know what happened to Ted Turner, by the way, and how his fortunes suddenly wound up going kaput.
Oh, yes, and Rupert Murdoch moved in and took over where he left off.
Absolutely, absolutely. But this BCCI thing was heavily, the Bushes were heavily involved in it.
Oh, they certainly were. They were in the middle of it.
And we even understand that the Vatican and the Vatican...
Oh, the Vatican, Vatican was very Bank. Heavily involved, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And what, now what exactly there was this money, what was going on, this big transfer of wealth in, from country to country, from pocket to pocket, and exactly how did that operate, Houston?
Well, a lot of it was occult and Masonic, and they had mysterious murders. One banker was hung from a bridge in London, and that was considered to be a highly occult event of significance. And there was all this stuff going on. It's like the Harry Potter occult books, which are sweeping the world.
Very true. Absolutely true. In addition to the BCCI scandal and what went on, of course, in the 80s, we saw this Iran-Iraq war that was created, as we know, as a major, major transfer of wealth. Once
oh,
again,
it certainly was. There was a Mossad operation, too.
Yeah.
Because there was no war. There was no fight between Iran and Iraq. That was all staged by Mossad and the CIA.
How did they do that?
Well, the CIA took Saddam Hussein under its wing, and Mossad took Iran under its wing. That's how they managed the two. It was like a prize fight in New York. They just managed two fighters. That's all they did. And they fought for 8 years.
At a cost of over a million lives.
Oh, yes.
Very interesting.
And
all
everybody,
right.
Apparently, everybody walked away happy because they achieved all their objectives.
Yeah, except the people whose families were victimized. We'll be right back. I'm Rick Adams. Stay tuned.
Thought police are on the run because Rick Adams is back on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
And we're speaking with Eustace Mullins, and Eustace has authored a number of books. How many altogether now, Eustace, have you?
About 15, but some of them are out of print. I'm trying to get them reprinted. Now, I'm having a little trouble with my relatives. They're holding up my printing operation.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You should never let relatives interfere in a business operation.
I guess not. One of the books, of course, that you have written is The World Order.
That's out of print now, and people are going crazy.
Yeah.
They want The Curse of Canaan and World Order
the Curse
and My
of
Life
Canaan,
in Christ.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I haven't got those books printed.
Wow. Well, we've got to help you in some way if we can get them reprinted.
Yeah, because people call me every day demanding these books. Pastor Peters sold... sold out completely on my Curse of Canaan. He was pushing them on his radio programs, and those books flew out of here.
Uh-huh. Yes, yes. Well, that's something that comes up on this program quite often, the Canaanites, and today, you know...
Oh, yeah, the Canaanites are crucial to everything.
Yeah, the Kenites, yeah, exactly, exactly.
Absolutely.
Well, their kingdom is coming to an end. Their worldly demonic influences are beginning
to...
Oh,
I think it is. I think it's... It's already past its apex, and it's on the wane right now.
Well, we know that the ultimate is their judgment seat will be coming soon, and that's something that we obviously are
judgment
all waiting
for. Judgment is inevitable, and judgment is coming, and that is what is causing the change.
Yes.
Because people sense that. They don't know it, but they sense it.
They don't really know what's behind it or what is the of the malaise, but they know there's something wrong. They know things aren't just happening by accident. They know that George Bush is not the oracle of God, contrary to what he says he is. You know, these things are now beginning to be shattered, these myths. And Tony Blair and this performance of this last charade in Britain again, showing just how desperate these politicians are to try to cover their butts.
I think they're more desperate than anyone else.
Well, yeah, because they're the front man. They're out there doing the dirty work, you know?
Well, all of their illusions are are disappearing in front of their face.
Right, right. Let's see. Let's take a call. Clint from Wisconsin. You're on the program.
Hello, Rick.
Yes.
Hi, I said.
Yes. Yes, go ahead.
And hello, Eustace.
Yes,
oh, hello. You know, I'm sorry when guests call in. We try to get some kind of verbalization that we've got a contact because not. But thank you for taking my call tonight. And I could recommend to Eustace that he might have some a lot easier time with his publishing if he converted all of his writings using the portable document format and sold the stuff on the internet.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I'm moving more to the internet all the time, but I'm not set up for that yet.
Well, that brings me to mention that I wrote the first e-commerce software for NorFed and the Liberty Dollar on their website, and I'd like you to help us understand your perspective of the use of the Liberty Dollar, Eustace. And then I'll just say goodnight.
Right.
Thank you again, Rick.
Very good. Thank you.
All right.
The Liberty Dollar, and why don't you take a moment to explain that before the break, and then we can pick up if you can stay.
Well, the Liberty Dollar, now there's a NORAD dollar, and now I'm not quite sure what the Liberty Dollar is.
Well, the Liberty Dollar is basically a gold coin.
Oh, no, I'm not too familiar with that because I don't do much handling of money.
All right. Well, you know, that's the thing is these alternatives to the criminal Federal Reserve system have already been in place now for a long time.
Oh, yes.
And we need to know.
Working.
People need to know about them. All right, let's do this. We got a break coming up. Can you stay, Eustace?
Yes.
How long? Can you stay a few more minutes?
A few more minutes.
All right. We'll keep you for a few minutes into the second hour. Get online if you got a question. Our guest, Eustace Mullins, 800-313-9443. Rick Adams, we'll be right back.
Censored.
Radio Free America. Another exciting, informative hour is warming up. Rick Adams is on fire.
All right, and we're back. And Eustace Mullins, our guest. The subject of the Liberty Dollar came up, Eustace, and people online can go right to a variety of sites, NorFed and so forth, but you'll find that in his book, Ed Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, he had talked about the fact that before you could get rid of the Federal Reserve System, you first had to be able to convert them into a real currency. That meant creating an entirely new money supply, which is 100% backed by gold or silver, you know, precious metals. And that's what the Liberty Dollar has been created to do. And, you know, it is, as far as we know, as far as I know, it's perfectly lawful, unlike the Federal Reserve System, which is not lawful. People are finding they can buy gasoline, they can pay off mortgages, they can do a lot when they have real money that has not been destroyed by the Fed. That's what it's all about. People need to understand it's not the guy that's charging for the gas. It's not the guy that's selling you his products at a higher price this week than last week in the restaurant or the store. It's the guy that's controlling the currency, the Federal Reserve System.
Because the currency is interest-bearing currency. That's what the bankers are really making the money.
Well, that thing is, it's currency that is just created out of nothing.
Yes.
And you can't do that with gold. You can't do that with silver. And what is happening is the destruction of the value of everything you've put into your life savings.
Well,
this
it really
is
does.
The. I mean, it makes all of the criminals and crooks in history look like tiny angels in comparison. Jack the Ripper, Jesse James, the Brinks robberies, all these people were absolutely angelic compared to this Federal Reserve conspiracy.
Well, they were also amateurs. These people are real pros.
Absolutely. You know, it's something that, again, people listening now, if you want to do yourselves a favor, get some basic education. Now, some of Eustace Mullen's books are out of print, yes, but there are many, like Ed Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, that are still in print and still being sold. And you can get them right off the net, online. All you have to do is just to do a Google search. You'll find them. You go to the publishers, and you'll be able to pick them up offline. And if not, you can get them ordered, some of these books, at some of the bookstores that are even major chains, such as Borders and so forth. They will order them for you if you pay up front or if you put in an order. They will get the book if it's in print. So
some of our books are still in print, and I have a website, EustaceMullins.com. Mm-hmm. So you can find out what I've got available on the website right there.
Right, okay. All right, let's see if we can start a call here with Jeff in Massachusetts. You're next, Jeff.
Now, as far as finances is concerned, the fact of the matter is our finances is being held up by cheap labor. It's just as simple as that. And with illegal immigration coming into this country and they're working all these cheap jobs, If we eliminate illegal immigration, our economy completely collapses, and that's part of the communist conspiracy, is to completely debunk our currency. I think it was Lenin or Stalin who said that. And do you think Eustace, that there's a point of no return?
Well, I don't see a point of no return, just because countries have risen and fallen regularly, and you know, J.P. Morgan was asked back in 1914, what is the stock market going to do? And J.P. Morgan responded to him, he says, it will fluctuate. And the reason it fluctuates is because the speculators keep it fluctuating. That's how they make their money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Richard Nixon croaked this country when he killed the gold standard and floated the currencies of the world. And the sick part is, you're right, a lot of people are not educated on the nature of currency.
Stay where you are for a few moments more, Jeff.
Sure.
And Eustace. We'll be right back with more Uncensored Radio. Free America. Stay tuned. Back again for a few minutes more with our guest Eustace Mullins, and again, Jeff, you're still there in Massachusetts, are you?
Yes.
Okay.
Now,
go ahead. Continue what you were saying.
Yes. Now, with gold, for instance, gold pneumatics, I believe that one day the government will confiscate all our gold in this country if we ever have a revolution and a bank run. It's just as simple as that. And when that happens, we will be forced to take a little mark in the right hand or the forehead or a national ID card.
All right. Eustace, any comment on that?
Well, of course, Roosevelt confiscated the gold in 1933, and it could be done again at any time.
Of course. And that's exactly what you're dealing with. These laws are already in place. Plus, you have tons of executive orders that most Americans don't know about. I believe that the Americans have been dumbed down, basically. People don't know the foundation of our money. Gold is from the Constitution, and the Constitution talks about coining gold, coining money.
Well, that's because the Constitution states Article 1, Section 8, that the money should be gold and silver. It's right in there.
Exactly. But before I split, a lot of people in America have been dumbed down for the past 40 to 50 years. That if you talk to people over 50 and 60, they'll know what's going on. Talk to people today, go to the baseball game, go out to the basketball game, and as long as my belly is full.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a friend of mine takes me to restaurants to take me out to dinner, and when he goes out to pay the check, he says, well, I have a little problem here. He says, the only thing I have are Federal Reserve notes to pay this bill. Do you take those? And then the cashier goes into frenzy. She says, she thinks she's being scammed. And she says, well, no, I don't think so. And she calls the manager. And the manager says, no, we couldn't take a Federal Reserve note. And so he finally pulls out the money. It's ordinary green money. And so then they realize it's all, they've just been making fun of him.
Oh, brother. Well, anyways, man, have
all
a
right.
very nice night.
I appreciate your call. And, yeah, that gets them every time, you know, Eustace.
Why? Well, they're absolutely defenseless. I can't handle it.
Right, right. Let's go back to the phones. All right, Garen in Rhode Island. Hello, Garen. You're on the program.
Hello, Rick and Eustace.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. What Eustace was alluding to earlier, he said about the their illusion, that they're using is crumbling away. And I noticed today on CNN when I was watching it for a little while. The reporter actually, I don't know, maybe it's one of these things that kind of slip out, actually said that, about the bombings today in London, that the reporter says, had said that the people are saying, if this was a real terrorist act, then why did they use these, basically ineffective bombs, that it wouldn't cause mass damage?
Oh, yeah.
So, that's... That was CNN even reporting that the people in London are saying that if these were real terrorist acts, I think that's, the key phrase in there, that people are, many people really are starting to question these, supposed terrorist
attacks.
Well,
they should question it. It's a very questionable situation. Everybody in this country has been questioning everything from 9/11 to the Waco Holocaust and the Murrow Building bombing in Oklahoma City and everything. They're all questions, and nobody has an answer to any of it.
Yeah, and I think their illusion is starting to crumble away, and people are really starting to question these things and not just buying the official line.
No, they're not buying it.
Yeah, and my question for Eustace is, do you think that, the Muslims are really being demonized because of their opposition to usury and debt?
Oh, that's very basic to the whole thing. But this goes back 1,000 years to the Crusades of 1100 A.D. They're trying to recreate that. They want the Crusades between Christian and Muslims to go on, and there's just no basis for it. They can't keep it going.
Mm. I mean, so by you saying that is... do you think that they basically, the Iran-Iraq war, sort of like we're bumping each other off and we're doing the jobs of the globalists?
Oh, yes, the Iraq war is the most artificial thing that's ever happened in this country.
Yeah, you create a war, so create that conflict so Christians and Muslims knock off each other so they don't even really have to do it.
Well, Saddam Hussein had been known as a CIA asset for the last 25 years by both Bushes. And so he's the key to the whole thing.
Well, the thing is, he did almost everything they wanted him to do.
Well, he did everything, yes.
Except he started keeping a little bit of money that he wasn't supposed to keep.
Well, yeah, he's taking a little too much.
When he did that, that's when Papa Bush said enough is enough.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We're going to end it now. We're going to, call in the carpet. And this is what they do. They set up governments. They set up governments all over, like they did with Marcos of the Philippines. And Marcos was a good ally to the United States.
Oh, yeah.
Just like others. What they do is, in some point in history, they decide the time has come to switch horses. And what do? They start a scandal. It's interesting in this country. Garen and Eustace, you go back to the administration of, Woodrow Wilson, we know he was corrupt. We know what he was doing. But you go back, really, to the guy that they said was who was the guy? The Teapot Dome scandal, if I remember. The guy wrote a book.
Oh, that was Harding.
Warren Harding. Doherty was, I believe, the attorney general.
Harry Doherty.
He wrote a book, The Harding Tragedy. And essentially, Warren Harding was Watergated, in a sense, long before Richard Nixon.
Oh,
by
the whole
same
thing
college.
Was artificial. It was pure. I've written articles about that. Mm-hmm. The Teapot Dome was one of the most manufactured artificial incidents in American history.
Well, the reason, though, behind it is that Harding was beginning to rout out Bolsheviks in Washington.
That was
that's
key
the
to
point.
All.
Right, exactly. And he was teapotted. let's face it, you don't do things like that. He died not too long after, by the way.
Oh, yeah, a sudden heart attack. Yeah.
Yeah, Yeah. But it's interesting, you know, when you start walking up against these powerful forces that are, you know, behind the Bolsheviks and behind the Red Army and behind all of these mass murders and so forth, the Sons of Cain, as it were, the Bible, now, you know, your days are numbered. I mean, it's just that simple. This is what they do. They pick off, they assassinate, they put new leaders in, new puppets to do their dirty work. And the fellow travelers do the most damage, because these people are basically stupid people that go along and
well,
do
they know how to go
do.
Along.
Yeah, well, I mean to say, they
and
see the wind,
survive.
The handwriting's on the wall, and they go by that, don't they?
Oh, yes. Well, I spent 3 years on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., and it was a stage set. It was like a cheap Broadway play the whole time. It was Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
It sounded like the biggest whorehouse in Washington.
Huh? Yes.
Well, Garen, what do you make of all of this discussion, Garen? Are we coming through loud and clear?
Yeah, very good.
I mean, I'm talking about in terms of making sense out of this crazy, sick, demented world.
Yeah, as much as anyone can, that's for sure.
Yeah, and you, of course, doing your bit, your part in the media locally and with the cable and my program and so forth, you're beginning to see a great consciousness, if you will, on the part of many people that never before would have been interested in these subjects, right?
Yeah, as Eustace was saying, that you know, their illusion is crumbling away, and I really see that. I think that really is starting to happen. That's mm-hmm. why I think that very much holds true, that their illusion is crumbling away. People are starting to question, think for themselves, and question these things instead of just going along with the official line that, you know, it's another attack by Islamic terrorists and all that deal. Just by what that reporter had said, the people, you know, were thinking today. I think that's a direct result of that.
Well, certainly that's a logical reaction.
Yeah.
But, look, Lucky Strike cigarettes used to advertise for years. It's fun to be fooled, but it's more fun to know.
And, yeah.
And the fun of helping people know is the fun of the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, seeing people wake up, helping people wake up. And it's definitely fun, that's for sure.
Well, thank you, Garen, for the contribution.
Hey,
keep up the great work. Doug in Texas, you're on the air. Hello, Doug.
Big fan of Eustace Mullins. Big fan.
Give him a big hand.
All right.
Okay.
And we got, you know, Ed Griffin writing, you know, does he copy every word, every syllable that you write?
Well, a lot of people do that. He's not alone.
Yeah, well, they learn from you. Is that right? I mean,
oh, yes,
they
learn.
And you learned a lot from Ezra Pound, so.
Well, I did indeed. I tell everybody that I learned everything from Ezra Pound.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, what do you make of all of this, Doug?
Well, I think you have a fantastic guest, and he is my hero. And well, I guess I have to give credit to Ezra Pound, really, since you copy him.
And you have to give credit to his mother and father, because they brought him here. So.
They brought him up? Right. They certainly did.
And I mean your mother and father, too, Eustace Mullen.
Oh, they were both farm people. They were brought up on farms. They did things right.
Yep, that's real America out there.
Oh, it is indeed.
Eustace, you just keep up the good work and sound younger every time you get on the radio.
Yep.
Well,
bad.
I get younger all the time. I got the body of a 17-year-old.
Bless him. All right. We'll bring him on sometime to talk about his aging secret. All right. Hey, Doug, thanks for your call.
Good guy.
Thank you, brother. Thanks for your support. Eustace, I'll let you go. I know you're getting tired. We'll have you back soon.
Watch us for the great hour.
Thank you, Eustace Mullins. Take care. Rick Adams, we'll be right back with more.
The first step in winning the war, spreading the word. Tell your friends Rick Adams is on RBNLive.com.
Yeah, and a host of other affiliates. All right. Always a great guest, Eustace Mullins. Don't want to overburden him and his schedule because, hey, you know, despite what he says about having the 17-year-old's body, let's face it, he's up there in his 80s now, and he's a survivor. He's a tough man, a man of nails. And I admire him because the one thing I admire about him, more than his intelligence, his intellect, his understanding of history and so forth, is the fact that he just does not get dragged into an emotional, if you will, quagmire. He just doesn't get baited. And I like that. You know, he doesn't get all excited to the point where he's going to, you know, scream at you and yell at you, and you can make a point and disagree with him, and he'll turn to you, and he'll be just as kind and gentle as a lamb. But behind that lamb is his tiger and his tiger paws, right? I like Eustace a lot for that reason. And we'll have him back again very periodically. There's no question about it. Now, tomorrow night, I am going to have on the program this individual. Let's see now. It's Wendy. This was the guest that we had hoped would be here tonight, but she could not make it. And her name is Wendy Campbell, like the soup. Now, she has a website and an organization known as Marwen Media. M-A-R-W-E-N. You can go to the website, marwenmedia.com. And she apparently is very, very outspoken. She is a producer, filmmaker, distributor of human rights and conservation activist, writer, illustrator, political pundit, and world traveler. She is going to be on the program tomorrow evening, first hour, and we'll be discussing, well, a number of subjects. She is going to talk about exposing Israeli apartheid, and she and Mark Green, a frequent co-editor of articles in the Marwen Media, is also a political commentator who has produced many groundbreaking and relevant videos since 1986. I just thought I would mention that to you. Tomorrow night, don't miss out. Absolutely not. Well, let's see. Speaking of... yeah. Oh, let me bend over here. You know, speaking of all of these Hollywood types and media moguls and so forth, it's interesting that in the newspaper, The Forward, the Jewish newspaper, Mr. Spielberg allegedly is running up against some concern within not the Hollywood community, but interestingly enough, within the publications, the general news media community. And that is because he is planning this film about the Mossad. That's right. Spielberg is shooting a film about the Mossad. And the media, apparently from what we're being led to believe, is smelling blood. And the viewpoint expressed in the paper by Ami Eden is this. The still untitled film will tell the story of a squad of Mossad hitmen ordered to hunt down the Palestinian terrorists responsible for the killing of 11 Israeli athletes in the 1972 Olympics in Munich. Spielberg has kept most of the details about the film strictly under wraps, and Jewish organizations are not even hinting at signs of trouble. But that hasn't stopped the media from essentially trying to set up a sequel to the controversy surrounding Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ, only this time with Spielberg cast as the object of Jewish outrage. Well, that's being a little overstated, to say the least. Apparently, this film about the Munich team, the Israelis, is interesting. It's drawing scrutiny because of some of the people that are involved with it. For instance, he's tapped Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright Tony Kushner to rework the script, presumably with the goal of dramatizing the agent's moral angst. Kushner, at least one right-wing Orthodox columnist, was quick to point out, with the help of an old quote from this writer, is a harsh critic of Zionism and Israeli security policies. Well, that's what they say. And what they're saying is all of a sudden, all of the big publications, the Jewish publications, Newsweek, Time, New York Times, and the like, of course, are starting to get a little curious. What's going on? What's this film really going to tell us? Will it embarrass our favorite country and our favorite criminals, our favorite assassin? Well, that's the question. Now, you can take it any way you want. I never judge a book by its cover until I read the book. So I tell you that if you really want to know what's going on, don't second guess anybody. Take it with a grain of salt. That's all you have to do, and wait for it to come out, because we are going to be seeing a lot of other films coming out of Hollywood in the days to come that will be of this ilk, of this nature. So you want to keep that in mind. All right? Just do that. Think about it. Our number here, 800-313-9443. Toll free, 800-313-9443. I'm getting ahead of myself. You got it. Write it down. Give me a jingle. We'll be right back. I'm Rick Adams. Radio Avenger will return.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
What kind of government rules your world?
We have no government.
Be a dream, huh? No government. Well, it certainly beats total government, that's for sure. All right, okay. I have to talk a little bit more about how we are being surveyed every day in our schools, in our government buildings, in commercial establishments, and yes, on the road, on the highway as well. And but just before we do that, I have decided just to go on Infowars.com, Alex Jones' site, looking at it right now. Attack on London, second wave, reports of explosions. This seems to be little more than fear-mongering on behalf of the government. They were very, very insulted by the fact that a large portion of the population didn't buy their official story on the London bombings, and this is an attempt to scare the people into not asking questions. Police search hospital near blast. You heard that today on the news. Armed police have returned to University College Hospital close to the scene of one of the blasts in London. This is getting sillier and sillier and sillier. The tragedy is human lives, of course, have been snuffed out in the first bombings. And again, I cannot condemn any groups, because I simply don't know. I simply do not know the facts. And I think the fact of the matter is that when someone as corrupt as Tony Blair and his cohorts, Jack Straw, Foreign Secretary and so forth, you know, when they start getting up and start acting very, very strangely and behaving very strangely, more strangely than they normally do, then you know that they know who's responsible for it. And it isn't the usual cast of suspects. It isn't the usual cast. I mean, they can't keep talking about Osama anymore. That thing has virtually worn itself out. So they talk about Zarqawi. And if it's not Zarqawi, then it's Dr. Haiman Nahawiri. And if it isn't him, then of course it's someone else. And this goes on and on and on. Now, it's interesting because, you know, the three of the so-called suicide bombers in the first attack were of Pakistani descent, we're told. And Pakistan under General Musharraf, is one of George Bush's allies in this so-called war on terror. Yet, interestingly enough, in the media, you have not seen in the American media any great rush to judgment about Pakistan's involvement. You have been hearing a lot about Egypt. You have been hearing a lot about Saudi Arabia, where the oil fields lie. You have been hearing quite a bit about these other Arab regimes, but not Pakistan. Pakistan, of course, is an Islamic nation. George Bush, though, interestingly enough, has been pushing very, very strongly this new alliance with India. Now, as you know, the Israeli government did assassinate Prime Minister Zia of India, of Pakistan, in the 80s, I believe, when they tried to prevent Pakistan from going nuclear. And Pakistan is a nuclear nation now. It does have nuclear weapons. India has them. And you remember some time ago, they came pretty close to a situation that the world was watching very closely. Pakistan and India. Now, George Bush, under his buddy, his papa, his real papa, Ariel Sharon, is pushing India to the fore. And India and Pakistan have not ceased their hostilities. They're still technically enemies. Now remember, they're both from the same nation, India, except that one divided with a Hindu religion, the other with the Islamic religion. At about the same time in the 1940s, after World War II, as the State of Israel was formed. Good seed, the good fig, the bad seed. This is becoming more and more interesting all the time to see the geopolitics involved here. Now, on Infowars.com, Mossad chief confirms Netanyahu's warning of London bombing. The Mossad office in London received advance notice about the attacks, but only 6 minutes before the first blast, the paper claims, confirming the earlier AP report. As a result, it was impossible to take any action to prevent the blasts, so they say. Mainstream media reports, suicide theory, difficult to swallow. It's very exciting to see mainstream publications not buying into the propaganda. Never before have so many people witnessed a government-backed terrorist attack and immediately seen through it. Well, I think many are. I do believe that more and more Americans are indeed doing just that. They are beginning to see through the sham. There are too many loose ends, too many false stories, too many anomalies and inconsistencies to think that it's just this so-called Al-Qaeda network. So that is heartening. Yes, it is very heartening. But the question is, what if America should indeed be targeted now by these people in the CIA and the Mossad and others for a more massive attack, one that will require a shutting down of the country? See, George Bush won't shut the borders down because he wants to shut the country down. That is the reason, my friends. George Bush knows that if he truly wanted to protect America, first thing he would do would be to close off the borders, seal them, and erect a security fence. Does that sound familiar? To patrol and guard America. Because people are coming in this country just like somebody walks down your street from another neighborhood, just like that. And that's exactly what's happening. George Bush is allowing it. George Bush and his masters are deliberately ignoring the problem that even some in the Republican Party, not just Tom Tancredo, but others, and the Democrat Party are shaking hands over, yeah, we're being sold on the river. Mr. Bush is helping the enemies of America. No kidding. We can see that every day. But remember, there's always a method to their madness. There's always a method to their madness. They're letting this country open itself up to any kind of terror activity that would help bring about the police state. Remember, who really profits from all of this? Well, it isn't the terrorists. It isn't the countries who allegedly harbor terrorists. It isn't this so-called Arab conspiracy or this Mohammedan conspiracy, the so-called Islamic fanatics and so forth. They're not profiting from it. Not when the groundswell of hatred is being directed at them, not at all. All right, here's something I want to add now before we go back to the phones. Cities opening more video surveillance eyes by Martha T. Moore. You may have seen it in USA Today. Despite complaints by privacy advocates, the number of surveillance cameras is growing and proving increasingly valuable to police for catching criminals as well as protecting against terrorists. Cameras on a traffic pole snap pictures of cars, and a computer runs the tags against a criminal database. How's that? By Steve Mitchell, AP. The potential was demonstrated last week when British police used videotape from some of London subway's 6,000 cameras to identify four suicide bombers who have alleged to have killed at least 55 people. The London cameras were set up initially to combat the Irish Republican Army. Likewise, the September 11th terrorist attacks led New York City and Washington to increase video surveillance. In Philadelphia last week, police charged Pennsylvania hospital worker Juan Covington with a shooting death of X-ray technician Patricia McDermott after viewing video of the killing and video from another camera just a few minutes later showing Covington dressed like the killer. Now, New Orleans has installed more than 200 wireless digital cameras in locations that include housing projects, cruise terminals, and the French Quarter, of course. That should be interesting. Baltimore is putting in a $2 million network of more than 90 surveillance cameras in the Inner Harbor tourist area and high-crime neighborhoods. Chicago, 250 more cameras in high-crime areas, and plans to link the 2,000 that monitor public housing, transit, and public buildings so their feeds can all be watched at the city's emergency operations center. And on and on and on it goes. I could be reading for hours. You get the point. We are now a nation under constant surveillance. And we're not getting any safer, are we? We're not getting any more security, true security and peace, are we? But that is the ballyhoo. That's the cry, isn't it? Peace and safety. Peace and safety. Just give us your freedom. Give us your Constitution. Give us your Bill of Rights, and we're going to make you safe. But just think of it. How much more is the American public willing to take from this liar in the White House and all of the liars that follow in his footsteps? How many more? I got a kick out of the story, the headline from the New American this past week. Big picture of Dick Cheney, right on the front cover. Behind the presidency is Mr. Dick Cheney. Well, that's what they tell us. That's what they've been telling us for a long time. Whether you admire him or despise him, George W. Bush is essentially a figurehead for the tightly knit establishment oligarchy that runs the executive branch of our government. Now, remember, Dick Cheney, the congressman from Wyoming, once said that he never went back home and talked to the folk back home about the Council on Foreign Relations or the Trilats or any of the others because he knew it would not go over there. And here he was, a member of the CFR and all of these groups, knowing that what the people are fed back home and what you're doing in Washington ain't the same thing. That's for sure. So, Dick Cheney, once again, we're being told, is running the show, and George Bush is nothing more than the little papa, the little puppy dog, the little puppetto. It's more than the mind can grasp, ladies and gentlemen. It's more than the mind can grasp. How we have permitted our nation to descend to this depth. George Bush's January 2004 proposal to extend amnesty to all illegal immigrants charges the activist group Judicial Watch prompted a surge of illegal border crossings that the administration then sought to cover up. That was from the Washington Post, by the way, in June. Citing portions of the 2004 U.S. Border Patrol survey obtained through the Freedom of Information Act, Judicial Watch reported that 61% of a sample of detainees who had been caught illegally crossing the U.S.-Mexican border in the wake of Bush's proposal said they had been informed by the Mexican government or the media that the Bush administration was offering amnesty to illegals. Nearly 45% said the purported amnesty influenced their decision to enter the United States. How do you like that, George? Wonderful, isn't it? And that's not all. The dialogue and the dialect for the draft is now becoming more and more a reality. A nationwide opinion poll conducted by Ipsos on behalf of the Associated Press revealed that a solid majority of Americans oppose any return to military conscription. A majority of adults also would not encourage their children to enlist in the volunteer military. Older Americans and Republicans were most likely to say a return to the draft is a good idea. Recruitment continues to plummet, but now you see re-enlisting is up slightly, they say. Well, the bonuses that are being offered and the money that's being offered to stay is just too much to refuse for some people, right? I would think so, in their case. Well, all the branches of the military entering the fifth consecutive month now of enlistment shortages. It's getting harder because of the influencers who are discouraging young people from simply acquiring information about the Army. So says Major General Michelle Rochelle, head of recruitment in the U.S. Army. Influencers not wanting recruiters to call, not wanting recruiters to sit down and talk. Senator John McCain stoutly insisted that restoring the draft would be counterproductive since it didn't work in its previous form. What is needed, he continued, is a new kind of mobilization involving what? The American Peace Corps, America Corps, community service. The biggest mistake I think we made after September 11th was not calling an American to serve. We should have said, okay, we're setting up all these organizations, we're expanding existing organizations, and we're going to give you all the chance to fight as foot soldiers in the war on terror. Well, I don't know about that, but John McCain is one double-talking politician. No matter what he says, I wouldn't want to bet the farm on it. All right, we shall be back with the final countdown tonight. If you want to get online, now's the time to join me. I'm Rick Adams. We'll be right back.
That's me.
Rick Adams doesn't belong on the radio. He should be taken off. He's attacking the politicians and our leaders. What's the matter with him? He's a troublemaker and a terrorist.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Yes, indeed, I am. I'm guilty as charged. Make no mistake about it. I am a terrorist against the New World Order. Because I want to see the New World Order totally and completely dismantled. But what is George Bush doing? Well, of course, he's dismantling the country. You see, as we become more expansive and expansionist all across the world, Pax Americana, only one-third of the subs that we need is what's being proposed. In fact, Vice Admiral Charles Munns has told the Congress, these cuts will leave us with few two subs for too many vital jobs around the world. Some experts are saying we may end up with less than a third of these submarines that we had thought we needed. Well, you know, I don't know that we need them, to be honest with you. But the important point that I'm trying to make is that whether we need them or not, it ain't Bill Clinton now that's doing this. It's George Bush. George Bush is reducing our fleet. George Bush is cutting it way beyond what Bill Clinton had done. You know, the Clinton cuts were breathtaking. Make no mistake about it. But George Bush is continuing in the same footsteps as Bill Clinton. This administration plans to build only one advanced Virginia-class attack sub per year in order to replace the old Los Angeles-class. This means that our attack sub fleet will soon number less than 30, although Admiral Archie Clemens, former commander-in-chief in the Pacific Fleet, was insisting back in 2000 that at least 72 were needed. We need 72, but we'll settle for 30. See, this is the real Bush. This is the real George Bush administration. This is the hawkish, strong on defense answer to Bill Clinton's disarmament. You see, this is why it makes me sick, and it makes you sick, to hear the nonsense from the neocon puppet talk show hosts all across the dial who continually rant and rave about the old bad days of William Clinton and praise George Bush because at least we're safe with Amasa. Well, the myth is shattered. The myth is broken. There is no defense under George Bush. In fact, it's far worse under George Bush than it was 6 years ago under Bill Clinton. And that's simply the fact. And not just because we're not building attack subs fast enough, or we're, you know, not improving on the nuclear triad, but because we are now more extended overseas than ever before for the New World Order. Well, you've heard it all before. I've heard it. Now let's get to it. Let's get busy. Tomorrow night, we will be back with our guest that we've talked about now. I promoted her, Wendy Campbell. She will be with us in the first hour. Don't miss it. Join in. Much more to come. Keep your prayers, keep your chins up, and keep your dial set at rbnlive.com. Rick Adams, Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of Talk Radio, goes to bed. Good night, everyone.